Hi, I'm Danny O'Brien, and welcome to this 20th of June 2006 episode of Line Noise, the Electronic Frontier Foundation's very own podcast. On Thursday, the Senate Commerce Committee will be marking up the Senate's version of the monster telecommunications reform bill, led by the committee chairman, Senator Ted Stevens. The bill is in the centre of an ongoing Washington battle over network neutrality, but thanks to MPAA and RIAA lobbying, it also carries language implementing the broadcast and audio flag, laws that will mandate copy control technology into all digital TV and radio receivers in the future. Now, usually at this point in Line Noise, I'd interview the EFF member of staff monitoring these developments. Unfortunately, in case of this legislation, that's me. So instead of talking to myself, I thought it'd be less confusing to speak to a knowledgeable third party. Drew Clark is the senior writer for the National Journal's Technology Daily, one of the most informed and well-read publications on tech policy on the Hill. He's been tracking the policy fight between Hollywood and Silicon Valley for over 5 years now. It's Drew's job generally to call EFF and drill us on our views, but he let me turn the tables this one time as long as I promised to make an annoying buzzing noise throughout our Skype call. I readily agreed and started with the easy questions first, whether he could peer into the future and predict whether the controversial Stevens bill would ever make it through the Senate.
Danny, that's a great question, and I must start off by saying I don't know. This has been a real parlor guessing game, even in Washington, about whether this telecom bill is really going to pass or not. You know, in most other legislative settings for technology and telecom legislation, you either knew or you didn't know many months before Congress was ending whether something was going to pass. And on this one, it's really pretty much teetered at 50-50 chance. And the reason, quite frankly, is there's so many moving parts, any one of which could trip up the bill's passage.
What's the kind of deadline for a bill like this?
There's never really any final hurdle, especially when you're talking with the Senate. The Senate is much more free-form legislative body that really has rules that allow any member who's opposed to something enough to stop something for a long period of time. And that is how a lot of bad copyright legislation got stopped in the past. The broadcast flag has been proposed and introduced in the past, but it didn't pass because of the Senate. And so, really, it's almost more like the beginning of the game rather than the end of the game. The broadcast flag, I need to sort of say, is a very minor part of the larger telecom bill. And it's not on a lot of people's radar right now. So this debate happened pretty much a year ago, and I suspect we'll see it again in 2 or 3 months or more. So it's not happening right now. But given that, I'll just tell you that the broadcast flag issue is less controversial on the video side than on the audio side, for the simple reason that the FCC, again, as all your listeners know very well, ordered the broadcast flag in the fall of 2003, and then public knowledge and you and the American Library Association sued, and you succeeded in striking that down, and the court, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, struck it down because the FCC did not have jurisdiction to impose that requirement on makers of electronic devices. So basically, that gives the motion picture industry that wants the broadcast flag the ability to go to Congress and say, look, it was just a little jurisdictional issue. Just give us the jurisdiction. This is not controversial. That's obviously the argument that comes up. And Mr. Stevens, Ted Stevens from Alaska, who's chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, he's long time been a supporter of the broadcast flag. Daniel Inouye, the ranking member, is also a supporter. So in the Senate, they're supporters of the broadcast flag. They threw it in their bill. I think the broadcast flag is still controversial. The House does not like it. And the House Energy and Commerce Committee is led by Joe Barton, who is very much opposed to the broadcast flag, or at least he says that if you're going to put your broadcast flag in here, Hollywood, we're going to put our fair use anti-circumvention bill, that's H.R. 1201, introduced by Rick Boucher and co-sponsored, incidentally, by Chairman Barton in the House. Now, Hollywood hates that bill, and so it effectively kills the chances for the broadcast flag in the House. And so, you know, I mean, one plausible scenario is the Senate will pass their telecom bill with the broadcast flag. The House will pass, has already passed theirs, and it does not have any broadcast flag. That'll go to conference. It will get cut in conference committee. That's the plausible scenario as far as the broadcast flag as I see it.
What about the audio flags? I understand that Bill Frist in the Senate is a big supporter of the audio flag.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is where you really have some interesting payoffs for what's been known in Washington as the K Street Project. That phrase comes from Tom DeLay, the disgraced former House Majority Leader. And his idea was to, extend the Republican dominance beyond the executive, legislative, and judicial branches to government, the lobbyists, the people in Washington. He basically, said to these lobbyists, if you want your bills considered by us in legislature, you need to have Republicans, our former aides, in top positions in your lobbies. Recording industry got the message, and when Hillary Rosen, liberal Democrat, left the RIAA several years ago, they recruited Mitch Bainwall, who was Bill Frist's former right-hand man. Okay, there you go. I mean, you have the top aide to the Senate Majority Leader, who's now an RIAA, he's now the head of the RIAA. And Bill Frist has become the greatest friend of recording industry ever since. And, not coincidentally, there's also a lot of songwriter interest in Nashville. And I might add another real potentially worrisome development from the perspective of EFF is that Deborah Tate over at the FCC is one of the five commissioners there. She is from Tennessee and was strongly supported by Bill Frist. And while she's made very few public pronouncements on lots of subjects, the one message she has given out is she's a big supporter of the audio flag. So basically, you now have someone over at the FCC who wants to see an audio flag. You have the RIAA that is fighting very hard to keep the audio flag linked to the broadcast flag. Now, again, as your listeners know, the audio flag is much more controversial. Well, hey, who knows if it's much more controversial. It is more controversial than the broadcast flag. And the reason is because it implicates things like consumers' rights to copy a song that is played over the radio. I mean, we could go into the Arcanias and incidents of the broadcast flag, and I've actually done that for years. And I see it as restricting consumers' copying abilities. But Hollywood, every time I wrote a story, said that Hollywood would call me up and say, well, actually, it doesn't restrict copying abilities because you can make as many copies as you want. It restricts retransmission abilities. But with the audio flag, you're talking about clearly restricting people's copying abilities, just, qua copying abilities. You're talking about crippling recorders that could copy a digital song. So again, the audio flag is more controversial. Hollywood, i.e. the motion picture studios, would be happy to ditch it. But this is where you have a little bit of an awkward dance between the interests of the studios and the interests of the record companies. The recording companies are hanging tight to ensure that the audio flag gets attached to the broadcast flag. And quite frankly, that's one of the reasons that may kill it, because if they insist that the audio flag gets attached to the broadcast flag, that just makes it more controversial. And the argument then becomes, this is not part of the point of the Telecom Act. Let's drop it and deal with it later, i.e. next year, i.e. never.
I mean, all this talk of lobbyists and smoky backroom deals, I know that some people get kind of depressed, that they feel that they're not getting their voice heard. Is there anything that they can do?
I guess I go back and forth between the view that nothing that the average citizen does matters, and yes, there is a way to make a difference by writing and blogging and emailing and because you see evidence of both types, that it matters and that it doesn't matter. And you know, you need allies. I mean, that's just clear. You know, the thing I take out of my reporting on tech and telecom issues here in Washington is that the way the industries line up and battle it out is always the most important thing to the way decisions get made. If you at EFF have the tech industry on your side, which you do a fair amount of the time, then you have a much greater chance of success. If you're able to basically pit one industry against another, as in the case of how the audio flag and the broadcast flag essentially pits the recording studios against the television networks, you have a greater chance of getting something done, or at least stopping something bad from your perspective from getting done.
So you mentioned that you thought that the flag debate would drag on for at least 2 to 3 months from now. Is that because you see it moving more towards the House?
Well, again, the key aspect of the bill that this is all attached to is telecommunications, and it's about video franchising, and it's about the Bell companies wanting to get into the market for television. So that's the driving force. The Bell companies want it. The cable companies don't want it because it means more competition to them. And the technology industry has, for the most part, been neutral, you'll forgive the pun, i.e. they haven't really cared one way or the other until they started to get worried about network neutrality. That's gotten a lot of tech companies engaged. So you have this three-way fight between these three industries, and that's what's driving the telecom debate. Now, there's the broadcast flag, there's issues of universal service, there's issues about down conversion of digital signals, there's E911, emergency response for internet telephone companies. There's a whole bunch of ancillary issues that are attached. And some of those may get included and others may get dropped. And I'm just, you know, when I said earlier that the broadcast flag I expect would work itself out in the next 3 or 4 months, what I mean to say is that we don't know right now what's going to happen to that provision, but it's a good bet that it will get dropped in conference, or alternatively, it'll just get accepted in conference. But the point is that the debate hasn't really happened. I mean, and if we see some more debate on it, it'll be in the next couple of months. Right now, everyone's focusing on net neutrality, and they're focusing on video franchising.
So there'll be plenty more stories for you to write on this topic, at least.
Well, yeah, that's the one thing that the telecom bill is good at, is providing employment for lawyers, lobbyists, and journalists.
That was Drew Clark. You can read his continuing analysis in the National Journal or at his own site at drewclark.com. That's DrewClark.com. Well, that's all for this week. Just time to say, if you have any questions about your digital rights or you think you've lost one and would like us to help you find it for you, write to information@eff.org. We'll be happy to help.